Jake, both of you.
Huh? As far as Brian's concerned, there just isn't any argument. Grammar school doesn't enter into it. He wants the kids to have a private education, and that's that.
You see, Jill, I'm not the only one who thinks that way.
Phil, I know the standard of Borchester Grammar is good, and I want Elizabeth to go there.
Well, I don't see what there is to argue about.
If the grammar school goes independent, it means paying fees, doesn't it?
Well, only because the government won't allow that sort of place a state grant.
And at the same time, we'll be paying rates and taxes that would normally go towards educating our kids under the state system.
It isn't as though we can't afford it, love.
That's what Brian says. We can afford it.
Exactly. If it's the best there is for Elizabeth, and I can pay, why shouldn't she go there?
Phil, without the school becoming part of Borchester's comprehensive system, there's only one other school left. Tarrant Secondary Modern. It's 5 years old and already falling to bits.
Apart from being on the rough side of town.
Well, I'm not having Elizabeth go there.
She wouldn't have to if Borchester Grammar went over to the state system.
She won't have to anyway. If it stays independent, it'll keep its standards. And for that, I'm willing to pay. Aren't standards worth it?
Standards. Snobbery doesn't have anything to do with it, I suppose.
All right. Would you let Elizabeth go to Tarrant Secondary Modern with its standards?
Well, it's certainly possible that if the grammar does become part of the state system, it might be watered down by mixing with other worse schools.
What's more, as a so-called middle school, it'll lose a first-class sixth-form stream. Sheer waste.
We just go round in circles, don't we? I envy Chris. Peter goes there in September this year.
Yeah, whatever happens there, lad'll get a state education.
But Adam and Elizabeth will have to sit for the new school. When? In January next year?
And pay fees. That's if it becomes independent. But it isn't necessarily cut and dried yet, not by any means.
But I thought it was all decided now the council isn't going to maintain the school any longer.
Well, there's 2 months before the Secretary for Education gives a final decision.
2 months for public objections. From both sides.
So, you see, the battle has really only just started. End of round one.
Hello there, Aidan.
Well done.
Hey, it's a bit full tonight, isn't it?
You don't know where they've all come from. We've been waiting nearly 10 minutes to catch Nora's eye, and I'm
parched. There's a coach outside, probably out of that. Hey, Polly, love, when you got a minute?
Yes, Mr. Archer, as soon as I can. Yes.
No, patience is a virtue, but it doesn't help a man's thirst.
Hello,
I see the shelter's finished.
Yes, meeting's tomorrow night to decide who's to open it.
Only one person to put forward, man. You yourself.
Me? Oh, don't be daft.
Well, who better? No false modesty now. And I'm not buttering you up so that you'll buy me a drink.
If anyone should open it, it ought to be Joby Woodford. He made it.
And a fine job, too. But who organized it, though?
The Jubilee Committee.
And who organized them?
Oh, there's better candidates than me, Hayden. And anyway, I don't like making speeches.
Better still. Everybody else that might get asked would only end up trying to win the Barney chair. Would you fancy listening to Laura dedicating it, eh?
Resorting to blackmail now, are you?
Go on, man. At least, let me put your name forward. If the meeting decides against it, well, no harm done.
I'm not saying anything until I've got a pint down me. It's too hot to make quick decisions.
Now then, Mr. Archer.
I'm buying, Polly, my love.
We'll best make it quick, then. We could do with a couple more barmaids evenings like this.
Two snouts and a shandy, will you, love? And three, Chris. No, make it four.
In a minute. Just come in. Yes, Mr.
2 pints of bitter, my pet, and no crisp.
2 pints it is. It's good for trade, but my feet ache.
Polly, were you serious when you said you could do with a bit more help?
I suppose so, yeah. Not full-time, mind. Why?
Well, you know, I've an idea. I know someone who might welcome it, if you ask them nicely. And what's more, I reckon she looked very well behind the bar, if her husband will let her.
Betty Tucker.
Yeah, Betty Tucker. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a great idea, Paul Dulles. Oh. Yes, yeah, so it looks nice and it sounds nice and is nice. Not that I know her that well, mind.
I'm not interested in her personal details. Do you think she could cope behind the bar?
Oh, well, if we can handle sheepdogs and bees and goats, she would be able to manage our customers. And if she ever wants a helping hand.
It won't be yours. I like her. We get on all right.
Ah, well, that's settled then. Oh, blimey, it is nice to get the weight off my feet.
Use your brain, Sid. It's not as straightforward as that.
Why not?
She's got a husband, remember?
Well, you think he might object?
Well, of course he might, in the circumstances.
Well, what are they then?
Honestly, Sid, you are thick sometimes. Betty's having a baby, isn't she?
Oh. Yeah, but not yet, though.
Well, January, I think she said. But you know what that could mean?
It means that Mike Tucker's going to be a proud father. No, honest, love, I don't see what all the mystery's about.
Oh, men. That baby's very important to her. She's waited ages for it. And now that Mike's come round to wanting it too...
I'll get you. Yeah, they wouldn't want to lose it through her taking on too much.
I can't see any problems myself, but she might think otherwise.
I don't really get you. I mean, she's young and healthy, ain't she? What could go wrong?
All sorts of things. We know that.
Well, of course, I'm sorry, love.
It's all right. What I'm saying is this. We both like the idea of her working here part-time, but it's going to depend on what she and Mike decide.
Yes, I'm with you now.
Dan Archer said he'd put it to her casual-like tomorrow morning. Then, if she isn't interested, there's no harm done.
But if she says yeah?
I'll go round and have a chat with her about it.
Well, fair enough, love. Now then, where's the evening paper? I haven't had a moment to look at it yet.
It's hidden.
Oh, Poldulls, it's late and I'm too tired for hide and seek. I just want to put my feet up and have a quiet read before going to bed.
After we've talked about the garden.
Oh, that's blackmail, that is.
If I let you off till later, you'll only say you're too tired and leave it till tomorrow. Now, won't you? Be honest.
Yeah, well, it's been a hard day. Talking about gardening, it's exhausting for a bloke.
If talking about it exhausts you, what'll it be like actually doing it?
That's what I mean. I'll be an hospital case. So let's give it a rest, eh?
Sid, love, we can't. It's got to be done.
Oh, I know. Why don't somebody invent stunted grass and self-destructing weeds? Make a fortune, they would. The Nobel Prize, even.
Wishing them away won't work, love. But perhaps you could get someone to help you.
Yeah, but that costs money, though. I mean, we said that all along. And there ain't anyone, especially this time of year.
I was thinking of a lad. Two, maybe. With the schools breaking up.
That's not a bad idea. Using youngsters, I could afford two for the price of one, couldn't I?
All you got to do is find them.
And where better than the youth club, eh? There's bound to be someone there wishing to pick up a bob or two.
And I can think of someone to ask. Neil at Brookfield.
Inspired you are. I'll pop round and see him tomorrow morning. And now we've solved that little problem. Can I have me paper?
Of course you can, love. It's under your cushion. You've been sitting on it.
I just thought you might be interested, Betty.
Very kind of you, Mr. Archer.
I haven't done the wrong thing, then.
Well, to be honest, with the baby on the way, I've been thinking how to earn a few more pennies towards the expense. Things don't come cheap nowadays.
Polly says it'd only be part-time, and seeing as she knows about your condition...
Well, I've got to be sensible, of course. But I couldn't do without work. Now, I'd like to keep myself busy till I have to stop, but that's months away.
Looking forward to it, aren't you? I know Mike is.
Well, men are always a bit scared about it before it actually happens. But he'll be a good dad, I'm sure he will.
It'll give him some different perspectives.
This cottage is big enough for us, if that's worrying you, Mr. Archer.
Having a son makes a fellow ambitious sometimes, you know.
For a place of his own, you mean. Mm. But he's been through all that.
He didn't have much luck, I know. I hope you're both happy enough to stay on, that's all.
Oh, well, let's say we've got plenty of good things to keep us occupied for a while yet.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. I'll give Polly a ring then and tell her how you feel.
Oh, that's it. Then we can chat about it.
Aye.
Hello. What's Constable Drury want here?
Oh, he might be chasing me. News about the robbery, you know.
Oh, wasn't that awful?
Aye, wasn't
it? Morning, Mrs. Tucker.
Good morning.
They told me I might find you here, Mr. Archer. Can I have a word?
You only just caught me, Colin. I was on my way up to Brookfield. Any news?
No, just a thought to be going on with. You've got the church locked now, haven't you?
Yes, but that's only temporary. We still have to meet and discuss whether it's to be permanent.
Surely it'll have to be. You can't let that happen again.
Well, a second visit's not impossible.
If they really want to get in, locking the door won't stop them.
Yes, I've thought of that. And you might try putting it to your next PCC meeting, Mr. Archer.
To persuade them to do what? If locking the door isn't enough, then...
Can't the police keep an eye on the place? I mean, it's on the main road through the village.
Well, we need to be asked officially... But it could only be part of a regular patrol.
You can't very well stand guard all night now, can you?
Someone else might, you know, the way Woolley's keepers do.
Oh, old Tom's favourite occupation, night patrol.
Night watchman at a church. Who'd ever have thought it'd come to that?
It could solve a lot of problems, especially if they had the idea of coming back.
Well, thanks, Colin. I'll suggest it to the vicar and see what he says. Talking about council meetings.
I know, the Jubilee Committee tonight. Don't worry, I'll be there.
Right, I'll see you later then.
Paul, you're back.
Chris, love.
I didn't expect to find you here. I thought you'd be at the stables.
Oh, I knew you'd be here soon, so I took the morning off. Well,
pretty reckless, wasn't it?
Oh, Trina Muir can handle things at least till lunchtime.
Oh, it's great to be back. It really is.
The conference, how did it go?
Well, if I tell you it was dull and boring...
You hated it?
Yes. And no.
You certainly sound glad to be back. But you're not bored. Has something happened?
Yes.
Paul, after what you said before you left...
I met someone there. It was a man, so don't raise your eyebrows.
I wasn't. This man, what was so special about him?
Nothing, really. Good salesman, smart without being flashy, knew his business. But then everyone there was good.
He hasn't sold you something or taken you on as a partner.
No, he's much too successful to need me. But he gave me something, for free.
Tell me.
Advice. And an idea. Both linked to the line he was in.
That must be the same as yours. It was that kind of conference. Agricultural equipment.
Yes, but his line's a bit different from mine and full of potential.
In other words, a gamble. What does he want you to do?
Nothing. We met, talked, and that was it. I don't need him any longer. He gave me all I need.
Advice and an idea?
Yeah, the rest is up to me.
To do what?
Well, first to find out one or two essential things, and I'm going to do that right away.
Where are you going? You're hardly back. You've only just said hello.
I'll make it up later, darling, I promise. But I've got to see Tom Forrest straight away.
Uncle Tom? What's he got to do with it?
I phoned him last night. I'm seeing him for lunch. I've just got time to change. Then I've got a dash.
But what about us? I wanted us to have lunch together, to talk, to welcome you home.
This evening, my love. We'll celebrate this evening.
So if we make sure you don't have any lifting or carrying, Betty... You'll do it?
Oh, 2 evenings a week. Yeah, that'll be all right.
It'll help us out no end.
Well, I'm sorry I can't say which evenings yet, but I haven't seen Mike today yet to tell him.
You sure he won't mind?
Well, he knows I wouldn't take on anything silly. The baby's too important.
He still might object. Dads to be can get very stubborn sometimes. Sid was. He was like a mother hen when he found out I was carrying Lucy.
Well, Mike's not like that. Considerate, mind, but no panic. It's probably that what makes him such a good stockman.
I'll wait till you've spoken to Mike, and then we can...
We can expect me to start next week, most likely Tuesday and Thursday. But I'll let you know for definite tonight.
That's smashing. Sid will be pleased.
So am I. It'll make a nice change from milking goats, won't it? Not short of visitors today, am I? Hello, Mrs. Aldridge. What can I do for you? Come in.
Oh, thanks, Betty. Hello, Polly.
Hello.
You come with some goat's milk too?
Not me, no. Just a mention turns Sid's stomach.
Oh, it takes some getting used to, but nothing tastes the same once you get to like it.
Well, actually, I'm experimenting, making yoghurt. It's easier than I thought.
It's wonderful stuff. A good way of keeping your hubby from putting on too much round the middle, too.
I don't have to worry about that with Sid. He's got his gardening to keep him down.
Betty, I've got a message from Brian about this Jubilee Committee meeting tonight.
Oh, well, Mr. Archer's already reminded me about that, thanks. I'll be there.
Well, it's about who's going to open the shelter on the green. He says... What do you think about Grandad Archer?
That's a good idea. I mean, apart from anything else, he's practically the senior citizen of Ambridge, isn't he?
Well, he's chairman of the committee, too. And done a lot to make the Jubilee go well, he has.
Oh, good. I'll tell Brian. Now, I've just got to slip up to Brookfield and say the same to Neil.
Can I come with you, please?
Hmm?
Sid's up there with the car. Funnily enough, he's hoping to have a word with Neil, too.
Yes, I'm back, and no dashing off this time.
That's thoughtful of you.
I'm sorry, my love. Did you think I was mad or something?
I was beginning to think I was.
I couldn't explain. I didn't have time. I had to strike while the iron was hot.
I noticed you were in a hurry.
But it was worth it, my love. Tom really came up trumps, showed me everything I wanted to know.
You're pleased, then?
Pleased and excited.
You must tell me about it sometime. I'm in the middle of making sandwiches for Peter's tea. He'll be home any minute now.
Sandwiches? But we're celebrating.
You may be, Paul. I'm not. I don't see the point of celebrating a mystery.
Chris, darling, come and sit down. I'll explain as much as I can.
I don't want to hear. You've been away for 2 nights. I'm desperate to have you home. And when you get here, you treat me as if I were a piece of second-hand furniture. I'm past caring about your mad ideas.
Oh, please, darling, I'm sorry. But I wanted you to know when it was all fixed up, not before.
So it still isn't definite?
No, not yet. But tomorrow I see Jack Woolley, and that's the clincher. What Tom showed me today, it's all there. Everything I need to get started, next to no capital outlay.
You're hoping to team up with Jack Woolley? Doing what, for heaven's sake?
Same business, different line. But independent, my own boss. Instead of agricultural tackle, agriculture with a future. fish farming. How about that, eh?
I tell you, Ken, me old pal, it's a grand piece of work. Fit for a king it is.
Ah, should be. The price you must have paid for it.
They don't make thatch roofs the way they turn out cars in a factory, Mr. Pound. Craftsmanship costs money. It's bound to.
Of course it does. The fellas what does it ain't so common nowadays, ain't they?
Well, like a lot of craft handiwork, I suppose. Dying out.
Oh, it must be a relief to have a decent roof over your head again, though.
Oh, well, it's better than just a roof, me love. It's a proper work of art. The closer you looks at it, the more your admiration grows.
Well, the thing I noticed was the lovely golden colour of the straw.
Yes, but it can't stay that colour, ain't it? But there. That's bound to weather off in time.
Well, for all the fancy work and that, it's still only a roof, though. Long as it keeps the rain out, that's what's important.
Oh, that's a farmer all over, ain't it? Hey, practical. No sense of the beauty of the thing.
No matter how pretty a roof is, if it lets in, it's a load of nonsense.
Oh, well, there's some things that need to look good as well as doing their job properly, Ken. You looking at a fine example this very minute.
Now, Mr. Gabriel.
Ah, makes beer taste better, having it served by a good-looking barmaid, no doubt about that.
Oh, now, easy, Ken, you making Polly blush.
Oh, I'm used to you, Mr. Gabriel. But you better watch it. We got someone started next week who won't stand any nonsense.
Who's her, then? Pretty as you and Nora, is her?
Ah, might not be female at all, Walter. Oh. Could be a fella. What then, eh?
Well, she's no fella. She's Betty Tucker.
Oh, but her's a fine-looking wench, too.
Ah, and her's got a fine-looking man, too.
Well, as long as it's her pulling the pinter and him milking the cows and not the other way about, I'll put up with it.
Now, you just treat her right, Mr. Gabriel. I wouldn't want to lose her. Oh, excuse me. Yes, sir.
Point
your mile,
please, Miss. Betty Tucker, eh? Yeah. Oh, well, Duke.
Yeah, well, think yourself luckier than that other Betty, old son. She'd eat you alive.
Eh? What bet is this, then?
Well, you wouldn't have come across her much, maybe. The milk record girl. Comes round the farms.
Oh, that Betty.
Ah, Betty Jones. Always got a sparkle in her eye, that one.
Has her now?
There's more than a few fellas will tell you that. Mike Tucker now.
He never.
No, he never. His missus saw to that. And who else does she call on regular, huh?
Well, there's you for a start.
Oh, I was thinking of someone more her own age. Into his 20s he'd be. Fine strapping lad, just her sort.
You don't mean Tony Archer. You does, don't you? But he's married.
He is and he ain't. Not that that means much to Betty Jones. He ain't got all that many cows, but she never comes away early from his place, especially lately.
Now, just because his pat's away half the time don't mean that
Didn't say it did. All I said is that she's a fine wench, and she likes the men to know it.
Oh.
It's great to see you, Grandad. But it's a bit out of your way, isn't it?
Normally, yes, but I had to call in and discuss a little matter with Laura, so it was only a step or two up the lane.
Is it too early for a beer? I've got some in the fridge.
In a minute, lad, but I want a word with you first.
Oh, yes. I hear the shelter's done.
Aye, Joby finished it Monday. It's been officially declared open on Saturday week.
Ah, who by?
Well, I'm not very happy about it, but it's yours truly. Unanimous decision at the meeting last night.
You're being modest again, aren't you? You know you deserve a bit of glory.
No.
We'll have to try and make sure Pat's home that weekend. John Daniel would love to see you doing your turn.
There'll be no fancy speeches, I'm telling you. Short and sweet, over and done with, quick.
We'll be there. Moral support.
Oh, well, thanks. how are things going with Pat's mother?
Oh, slowly, you know. Not a lot of improvement, I'm afraid.
Does that mean Pat's going to be away much longer?
I hope not. There may be a chance of arranging a home help, but it's not certain yet.
Miss her, do you?
Not half. Yeah. Yes, I miss her.
Nice if she could be home for good by the end of the month, wouldn't it?
Yes. Why then, though?
Oh, no reason. Just that you'd not be left on your own so long.
She'll be home for the odd weekend, the way we've done so far. It helps. And I'll be going down this weekend.
Oh, that's good.
Hey, something's worrying you, Grandad. What is it?
Just thinking about Mike Tucker and Betty.
His missus?
No, the milk recording girl. Attractive, what I've seen of her.
Phil told you she was here, then?
Did you expect him not to, Lance?
Straight old-fashioned hospitality, that's all it was.
Might have been better if it had been Pat that asked her, though. Mightn't it?
Does it look that bad, Grandad?
Well, in a way, yes. I mean, if it was Gordon Armstrong she was with, everyone would know what to expect.
Gordon doesn't milk any cows, does he?
Maybe he ought to, next time the girl calls. He might like to try, knowing a pretty woman would be close by.
Hey, you are joking.
You don't have to laugh, as long as you get the point. Now, how about this drink you promised me, laddie?
Yes, let's go in, shall we?
If only Sid could see you, Mr. Gabriel. He'd be green with envy.
Oh, hello there, Polnareff. You come to take a look at me, Thatcher, have you? No admission charge for pals, you know.
I was admiring the thatch, all right. And how well you keep your garden. Smashing.
Well, if you dust things at the right time, my love, it all comes right in the end.
Sid's having to catch up on all the things the Briggses should have done and didn't. Like weeding and cutting the grass.
Oh, well, there's only one way to tackle them jobs, Polly. Elbow grease. Your own or somebody else's.
Well, you've got some help, he thinks. But there's so much to do.
Well, there's the rest of the summer, ain't there?
We got someone coming to look over it on Monday. It must all be tidied up by then.
Oh, well, if he's really stuck.
Oh, no, I want fishing. It's kind of you to offer, but you've got enough with your own garden.
Maybe, but the offer's there, Polly, remember. Seems it's a bit of a crisis.
Thanks. Well, I'm off down to the shop. Do you need anything?
No, I don't think I does, me love. Oh, hello, more visitors. Hey, doing well, ain't I?
So you are. Can't stop, Jennifer. Bye.
Bye, Polly. I don't know. Walter, you're never short of women, are you?
Yeah, it's me natural beauty and physique, Jennifer. I was never one of them 7-stone weaklings. Come for a cup of tea, have you?
No, I'm not stopping. I just wanted to say how pleased we are with that super crib you made.
Oh, glad you like it, my love. And I wish his joy to the little and what's going to be tucked inside.
Pat's always saying how well John Daniel slept in his when he was little.
Oh, well, there's nothing like a rocking crib to do the trick, you know. Now does you rock a kiddie off to sleep in one of them great modern cot things with casters on, eh?
You don't. You rock them in your arms till you're fit to drop. Get them off, lay them down, and then they're yelling again.
Pat's saving hers, is her.
But if you mean is she going to fill the crib up again, I shouldn't be at all surprised. But not yet, though.
Oh, pity her's away at her mother so much.
Oh, it's only for a while. And Tony can manage.
Yes, maybe too well.
What do you mean?
Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. You never heard me, promise.
Uncle Walter, what do you know that I don't and should?
Oh, why don't I keep me old trap shut?
Come on, tell me. I'll be cross otherwise. And I'm Tony's sister, I've a right to know.
Now sit down and tell me what this is all about, Paul.
Straight to the point, Jack. Right. You know Tom Forrest showed me around yesterday?
The spot over by Wood End where we planned on having a fishery once. Yes.
I can see just why you thought of it. With the old sewage disposal tank still there.
Well, they've given us a big advantage. Not having to put in tanks that size.
A river close by. Good water flow.
Not ideal, mind. Needs more gallons per minute.
But it's all there.
Yes, it would have been quite a nice project.
Pity it happened when you went sick.
It wasn't just a cold in the head, Paul. It was a serious warning. Stop. And I'm glad I did. I'm fit enough than I ever was.
Fit enough to have another crack at it?
At what?
Fish farming.
Look, Paul, it wasn't only my health that made me pull up short, you know. I'd got Tom going to all the whys and wherefores, and it looked good. Then we found how easy it was to be knocked sideways by something we never even thought of. Silage effluent.
Tom didn't say anything about you actually having started the fish farm.
Oh, we didn't really. Only a few fish had arrived, which was a pure stroke of luck. If we'd gone further, we'd have lost thousands.
Because of the effluent?
From Willow Farm when Hayden Evans was there. Polluted the stream for miles. Killed off nearly every trout I had.
Sheer bad luck.
I used to fish that stream regularly, you know. Even leased it out to a club. The loss of the natural fish was bad enough, but if we'd lost the raised ones as well, that'd have been disaster.
But that wouldn't happen again. You'd be ready for it.
When I first thought of it, it was ahead of its time. We'd have been one of the first in the field. Now there are too many in it for my liking.
But it's still got enormous potential, Jack.
It's still got enormous risk fall. Overheads aren't cheap. The cost of stocking and running it have increased.
Have you got figures?
Oh, there's a file somewhere.
But years out of date. Now, I check current prices, costs and overheads. We could really make something of it, Jack.
We?
A partnership. But not the way you plan for the sporting side. I'm aiming at supplying the table trade. That's where the profits are.
That I didn't look into, I admit. And the market price of fish now.
You could go for both. Stock the stream and the lakes for sport, but use most of your output for eating.
You're keen, aren't you? And you've obviously done your own work.
First, I want to know if you're coming with me. Provide facilities just as you'd have done before.
You must mean for next year. We're too late in the breeding cycle now.
Time for research and making the right contacts. We need to know our dealers and outlets.
Well, I'll admit I'm interested, but I'd like to know much more.
I know the figures by heart.
Then don't tell me. Write it all down. Give me a feasibility report.
Right.
And if it reads as well as it sounds, maybe we can go a step further.
Go on, girl. In you get. Go on. There. Get stuck into that.
Andy? Where are you?
Down this end. Hang on a tick. I'll be with you in a minute.
Perhaps you'd be dashing more if I was Betty Jones.
Eh?
You stop to think what it must be like for Pat, cheating on her.
What are you going on about? I haven't cheated anybody.
Perhaps not yet. You're going the right way about it.
Look, I've already been got at once today.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. Did it have any effect?
Yes. I don't know what I was thinking about, really.
Well, that's something, I suppose. But what happens when she comes next time? It's routine, isn't it?
Need a chaperone, don't I?
Don't look at me, love. I'm not your wife.
I should have Pat here, you mean?
Well, if you need protecting, just tell her what's in the wind. Let her go over the milk figures with the lady. I'll guarantee you won't be bothered after that. Poor, helpless man that you are.
The Archers, written by Brian Hales, script editor Charles Lefeu, was produced in our Birmingham studios by Tony Shryan.